RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, highlight, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia in front line of the world peacekeeping. Trade ministry to balance the trade between Indonesia and China. West Nusa Tenggara starts developing Islamic tourism. Now the news in detail. Indonesia would continue to be in the front line in calling for maintaining peace and the world. This was stated by spokesman of the Foreign Minister Armananta Nasir on Friday, ahead of World Peace Day, which falls on September the 21st. According to Armananta, Indonesia sees that there are still a lot of tensions in the world. He said Indonesia believes that all the problems can be resolved through diplomacy and talks.
Indonesia akan bekerja di depan untuk menjaga stabilitas dan
Indonesia will work in the front line to maintain stability, security and peace not only in the region but also in the world. We will continue our steps as today we have sent a peacekeeping force as many as 2,700 to various places in the world that still need help to achieve peace. We will continue to be counselor in the region to ensure that there is no tension to become open war in the region. To achieve world peace and security, Armananta Nasir said peace and stability should be created in every country's own homes and areas. It is expected that the achievement can be transmitted and spread to other regions around the globe. Indonesian Trade Ministry will balance Indonesia's trade with China by promoting national exports in some provinces throughout China. In addition, a trading house is established in Shanghai and Nanning. Director General for National Export Development from the Ministry of Trade, Nus Nuzulia Ishak, when delivering speech in the Indonesian Trade and Investment Seminar in Nanning, Guangxi, China on Saturday, said another effort is to reduce tariffs and non-tariff for Indonesian export products, mainly coal, chemicals, palm oil and derivatives, wood and paper products, as well as textile and textile products. In addition, the government increases the number of Chinese buying missions to Indonesia and facilitates the adjustment of industry standards and Indonesia's main product sanitary into the Chinese market through a mutual recognition agreement. He said, in the midst of global slow economy and national weakening growth today, the strategy to encourage exports is still believed to be one of the appropriate strategies to help drive the growth of the national economy. He hoped that the devaluation of the Chinese currency, yuan, is able to be used by national businesses to boost exports, particularly for products with high local content, such as agricultural products, fisheries, and plantation products. The governor of West Nusa Tenggara, Muhammad Zainul Majdi, pointed out that his region will start developing Islamic tourism by developing the existing tourism. He also expressed that Islamic tourism is not something ideological. According to the governor, in the world, the trend of Islamic tourism is increasing. People who want to get services based on Islamic values still continue to rise. He invites tourism stakeholders to take advantage of the business opportunities. He added that provincial government has a strong desire to develop Islamic tourism. Therefore, he hoped that the halal tourism can give contribution to the advancement of Indonesian tourism. Health Minister Nila F. Muluk welcomed the inauguration of PT Triton Manufacturers in Sentul, West Java. He hopes that the company of surgical sutures participate in supporting health development in Indonesia. In a press release as quoted by republika.co.id on Saturday, Minister Nila Muluk said with the operation of medical equipment factory that produces surgical sutures, surgical masks, and the skin marker will encourage the growth of other medical equipment factories. She hoped that Indonesia is no longer dependent on foreign medical device products. The idea of making this medical device product appears when the economic crisis hit Indonesia in 1998. Then there was a shortage of medical equipment products because of the high value of dollar against the rupiah exchange rate. The need for medical devices, he said, increases with increasing needs in healthcare, especially in fulfilling the National Health Insurance Program. With a population of around 250 million people, the National Health Insurance Program will make Indonesia as one of the attractive markets of medical devices for the appliance of medical industry. Today, Minister Nila said Indonesia much depends on the use of medical devices from abroad by 80%, so the medical devices products in the country is only about 20%. Hence, she explained the Ministry of Health encourages industrial society to improve the production of domestic medical equipment to compete on a national and global scale. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, inaugurated the monument of Parigi Mutong Equator Pearl in Parigi Mutong District, Central Sulawesi on Friday. The inauguration was marked by the signing of the inscription on the monument. The inauguration is one of a series of Sail Tomini 2015. On the occasion, Minister Puan said the monument is a symbol of the unity of Parigi Mutong community and it is expected to increase its tourism potential.
Tugu Parigi Mutong Mutiara Katulistiwa yang insyaallah.
This is as a symbol of the unity of all communities in Parigi Mutong to jointly enhance the potential of all natural resources and marine tourism. Of course, it must be maintained not only as a symbol, but the intention of its region that must be materialized by the community. Minister Puan added the Sail Tomini event in Parigi Mutong is expected to provide benefits for the local people. She said after the Sail Tomini, Parigi Mutong must be developed and the public must be aware of its natural beauty. During the inauguration, Minister Puan Maharani was accompanied by Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti, the Minister of Youth and Sports Imam Nahrawi, and the region of Parigi Mutong Samsurizal Tombolo Tutu. Head of Information Military Command 17 Cendrawasih Lieutenant Colonel Teguh Pujiraharjo stated that so far the military personnel at border posts have been conducting security patrols. However, because of the kidnapping of two hostages, the entire security apparatus, including the military and police personnel, will increase vigilance. Earlier, Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, said that one of the measures to prevent the abduction will not happen again with the increased guard around the region. Teguh said, as quoted by republika.co.id on Friday, that in the technical implementation of the patrol, the soldiers conduct security patrol regularly every day. But indeed, the hour of patrol could change every day so that it cannot be read by the person intended to violate the law in the region. However, Teguh admitted that one of the obstacles in the implementation of the patrol is the rough terrain and weather changes that are quite extreme in Papua. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesia is in front line of the world peacekeeping. Trade Minister to balance the trade between Indonesia and China. West Nusa Tenggara start developing Islamic tourism. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Press Review. Various important events of the week are summarized in press review today. We start with Media Indonesia Daily in its editorial on Thursday, September 17, which writes, "Ambushing Smokemaker." Many people talk about human rights. However, the effects of forest fires now hitting Sumatra and Kalimantan have never been called human rights violations. Media Indonesia argues that burning of forests is potentially an embryo of human rights violations. The Daily also writes, "It's because of increasingly thick smoke in Sumatra and Kalimantan have afflicted millions of people in Indonesia as a result of forest and land fires. The haze in Sumatra and Kalimantan has the potential to become a human rights violation because it happened repeatedly like annual ritual without maximum effort from the state to stop it. In addition to violating the basic rights of the people to breathe clean air, forest and land fires practice has also violated the constitutional mandate as stated in Article 28 of the 1945 Constitution about the right for a good and healthy environment. In addition, Media Indonesia writes that the chance to start off a fire came from 2009 regulation, which allows a maximum of 2 hectares of forest burning. Indeed, that article should be omitted. Next is Republika newspaper, which writes in its editorial on September the 15, new minister regulations on alcoholic drink. This daily, at the end of January 2015, hailed the move of then Minister of Trade Rahmat Gobel, who was in office for only 2 months, yet dared to create a breakthrough in alcoholic drink and liquor trade. He signed a regulation on control and supervision of the procurement, distribution, and sale of alcoholic drink. The ministerial regulation is a powerful weapon to restrict the sale of alcohol in all districts or cities in Indonesia. Local regulations also prohibit the grocery store or mini market from selling alcohol. Sales of alcohol are only limited in a hotel, large stores, or supermarkets. When President Joko Widodo replaced Rahmat Gobel with Thomas Lembong, there were some low keys about the alcoholic policy. With the change of the Minister of Trade, will the alcohol policy be changed? Such concerns finally got the answer in mid-September. The Ministry of Trade issued a circulation which relaxes the rules banning alcohol. In other words, the central government, through the Ministry of Commerce or Trade, has handed over permits of the circulation and sale of alcohol to the head of local governments, including in tourist areas. According to Republika, the public should continue to be reminded about the dangers of alcohol to individual and social health. Without strict control of the central government, the warning on the danger of alcohol is easily loosened by irresponsible elements. Republika expects the trade minister and his staff know very well what a snowball effect of relaxation of the alcohol legislation. We end the week of the press review with Koran Tempo Daily, which in its editorial writes on September the 15th, "What's a special committee on Pelindo for?" The case of cranes purchase at Pelindo 2, which allegedly is rife with corruption, has been widened and dragging various parties to intervene in the investigation, including the House of Representatives, which have formed a special committee. According to Koran Tempo, the House should not interfere in the case of Pelindo 2 because this case has entered the realm of law and is dealt with by the police. The formation of a special committee by the House would only interfere with the process of the investigation of this case. Parliament should reflect on the experience of the special committee on Century Bank some time ago. After spending a lot of time, energy, and funds to issue a recommendation to the legal authorities, yet at the same time, the Corruption Eradication Commission was also examining the case, so the result of the House of Representatives special committee became useless. According to Koran Tempo, the government is clearly has its interest in the case of Pelindo 2 to have this case settled quickly. Because logistic burden in Indonesia is very expensive, so it is not competitive compared to neighboring countries. If these issues are not addressed, the ideals of President Joko Widodo to build a marine toll road or bridge and the world's maritime access will only become a dream, because the harbor is important to realize these ideals. Well, that was this week's press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, meet again with me in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on September 19, 1945, when the first Indonesian President Sukarno held a speech at Ikada Stadium. Listeners, in 1942, during the Japanese occupation of Indonesia, the square was named Lapangan Ikada, or the acronym from Ikatan Atletik Jakarta or Jakarta Athletic Bond. The proclamation of Indonesian independence was originally intended to be staged at Lapangan Ikada, or the Ikada Square. It was, however, moved to a house on Jalan Pegangsaan, now Jalan Proklamasi. On the 19th of September 1945, Sukarno held his Indonesian independence and anti-colonialism or imperialism speech during Rapat Akbar or Grand Meeting. During Indonesian National Revolution from 1945 until 1949, the returning of the Dutch colonial forces has managed to gain control. The returning of the Dutch colonial forces has managed to gain control over Jakarta or Batavia and its vicinity and renamed most of places to their colonial names, including Ikada Field, which was changed back to Koningsplein. The next event was in 1955 when Juan Domingo Perón was knocked out from his position by a military coup. Juan Domingo Perón was an Argentine military officer and politician. After serving in several government positions, including those of Minister of Labor and Vice President of the Republic, he was 3 times elected as President of Argentina, serving from June 1946 to September 1955, when he was overthrown in a coup d'etat, and from October 1973 to July 1974. During his first presidential term from 1946 to 1952, Perón was supported by his second wife Eva Duarte or Evita, and the two were immensely popular among many Argentines. Eva died in 1952 and Perón was elected to a second term, serving from 1952 until 1955. During the following period of two military dictatorship, interrupted by two civilian governments, the Peronist party was outlawed and Perón was exiled. When the left-wing Peronist Hector Campora was elected president in 1973, Perón returned to Argentina and was soon after elected president for the third time. His third wife, Marina Estela Martinez, known as Isabel Perón, was elected as vice president on his ticket and succeeded him as president upon his death in 1974. And the last event was in 1991 when the discovery of Otzi, the mummified human from the Copper Age. Otzi is a well-preserved natural mummy of a man who lived around 3300 BC. Otzi was found on September 19, 1991 by two German tourists at an elevation of 3210 meters on the east ridge of the Finnspritze in the Otzi Alps on the Austrian-Italian border. The tourists Helmut and Erika Simon were walking off the path between the mountain passes Haus Lapjoch and Tissenjoch. They believed that the body was of the recently deceased mountaineer. The next day, a mountain gendarme and the keeper of the nearby Similaun Hütte first attempted to remove the body, which was frozen in ice below the torso using a pneumatic drill and ice axes, but had to give up due to bad weather. The next day, 8 groups visited the site, amongst whom happened to be the famous mountaineers Hans Kammerlander and Reinhold Messner. The body was semi-officially extracted on September 22nd and officially salvaged the following day. It was transported to the office of the medical examiner in Innsbruck together with other objects found. On September 24th, the find was examined there by archaeologist Konrad Spindler of the University of Innsbruck. He dated the find to be about 4,000 years old based on a typology of an axe among the retrieved objects. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id. Focus, Daily News and Events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. This time the topic is Indonesia-Hong Kong to enhance cooperation. Administrative head of Hong Kong, Leung Chun Ying, on Thursday met President Joko Widodo at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta. After the meeting, Indonesian Consul General to Hong Kong and Macau, Khalif Akbar, told reporters the Hong Kong government plans to open a representative office in Jakarta named Hong Kong Economic Trade Office in 2016. Indonesia will become the 12th country chosen by the government of Hong Kong as a place to set up a representative office. The office is expected to increase economic cooperation between Indonesia and Hong Kong. According Khalif, President Joko Widodo responded positively to the plan to open a Hong Kong representative office in Jakarta. The president hoped that this office can improve the cooperation between the two sides, particularly in the areas of investment and trade. President Joko Widodo previously mentioned that Hong Kong investment in Indonesia is still small, only $600 million. Therefore, he invited the government of Hong Kong to invest in power plants, highways, ports, railways, and outside Java in order to encourage employers in the country. Khalif Akbar explained further the plan to open a representative office was supported by several factors. Among others, Indonesia already has a visa-free agreement with Hong Kong and China. Besides, there are a lot of direct flights from Hong Kong to Indonesia coming through Jakarta, Bali, and Surabaya. On average, about 15 to 20 flights a day. The visit of Hong Kong Chief Administrative Leung Chun Ying is in connection with the convening of the Hong Kong Trade Exhibition in Jakarta from September the 14th to 20th. Hong Kong Trade Council also held a symposium, a seminar in addition to Trade Expo and citywide promotion in various places in Jakarta with the theme In Style Hong Kong. Indonesian Tourism Minister Arif Yahya, while attending the symposium on Thursday, hoped In Style Hong Kong can improve the partnership between Indonesia and Hong Kong, especially in trade, investment, and tourism. Meanwhile, Secretary of the Ministry of Cooperative and Small and Medium Enterprises, Agus Muharram, said Hong Kong is the gateway for small and medium business products, not only for Hong Kong and China's market, but also the global market. Well, that was Focus Today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. Indonesia would continue to be in the front line in calling for maintaining peace in the world. This was stated by spokesman of Foreign Minister Armananta Nasir on Friday ahead of World Peace Day, which falls on September 21st. The governor of West Nusa Tenggara, Muhammad Zainul Majdi, pointed out that his region will start developing Islamic tourism by developing the existing tourism. Indonesian Trade Ministry will balance Indonesia's trade with China by promoting national exports in some provinces throughout China. Head Minister Nila F. Muluk welcomed the inauguration of PT Triton Manufacturers in Central West Java, which produce supporting health facilities. Indonesia's Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, inaugurated the Monument of Parigi Mutong Equator Pearl in Parigi, Central Sulawesi on Friday. Head of Information Military Command Cendrawasih, Lieutenant Colonel Teguh Puji Raharjo, stated that so far the military personnel at border posts have been conducting security patrols. However, because of the kidnapping of the two hostages in the past, the entire security apparatuses, including the military and police personnel, will increase vigilance. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
You stay tuned to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Jakarta City Hall as a tourism object, so stay tuned. Listener, Jakarta Administration has launched Jakarta City Hall Tour. Now, every Saturday and Sunday, the Jakarta City Hall, which is used as governance office, is opened for tourists. The opening of Jakarta City Hall as a public tourism is a form of openness of Jakarta Administration and to invite Jakartans' participation in implementing the capital development. Besides that, by visiting Jakarta City Hall, visitors will be able to know the ins and outs of Jakarta Administration, which is now led by Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama, or popularly known as Ahok. Listener, Jakarta City Hall is located at the heart of Jakarta City, precisely on Jalan Medan Merdeka Selatan. To visit the hall is free of charge. It opens from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. for indoor visit and 10 a.m. until 8 p.m. for outdoor visit. Entering Jakarta City Hall, an officer gives tour opportunity to visitors in group of maximum of 30 persons per group. They can enter the rooms of the hall and will be guided by an officer to enjoy the Jakarta City Hall tour. In the room, the visitors have to keep the cleanliness of the City Hall. The visitors are also prohibited to bring food and beverage inside the room to keep the cleanliness and comfort of the room. Listener, at the Jakarta City Hall, visitors will be invited to go around by the officer to see the veranda or the front porch, waiting room, photo gallery of Governor, the hall, and the Great Hall. At the Great Hall, the visitors will watch a film of Jakarta and Smart City concept. Unfortunately, visitors cannot visit all the rooms at the City Hall, Governor's office. Jakarta City Regional People's Representative Assembly Building is not open for public because there are many important documents. While outside of the room, the visitors can enjoy various kinds of culinary and also musical performances. Besides that, the visitors can buy various souvenirs and Jakarta typical handicrafts at the booths of Jakarta National Handicraft Council, which is located at Block G of the Jakarta City Hall building. They have to use voucher to do all the transactions there. Listener, Jakarta City Hall is a historical building. The building with Tuscan style was built in the 19th century. It was previously used as a residential of burgomaster or regent. Besides that, this building is also used as the office of Jakarta administration. It was fully used as the office of Jakarta City Hall after the regent's house was built on Jalan Suropati No. 7, Cano, Jakarta. This building has been expanded many times. The Jakarta City Hall building is also complete with 60 CCTVs, metal detectors, and guarded by 40 agency securities. Listener, that was our segment, Indonesian Wonder for Today, featuring Jakarta City Hall. Thank you for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is NRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Mr. Lenny, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the turtle conservation, so stay tuned. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Indonesia has 6 of 7 species of sea turtles in the world. They all are in protected status in accordance with Regulation No. 7 of 1999. Nevertheless, conservation efforts of these protected species, such as the protection, preservation, and utilization aspects, still need to be improved. Among other is through the preparation of a roadmap document of turtle conservation management plans and, of course, followed by an action plan in the framework of implementation. Utilization of sea turtles in Indonesia has a long history. Since the ancient time, turtles have been hunted for their meat and eggs. This activity is said to be a subsystem in an effort to obtain alternative sources of protein to coastal communities. Increasing intensity of poaching activities and turtle slaughter continues in line with the influence of new technology. This has become commercial after World War II ended, along with the introduction of the motorboats and new techniques in fishing activity. Especially with the advancements of technology, the increase in population as well as increase in the variety and quality needs. This is motivated by an attempt to meet the needs of daily life and then develop into a commercial business activities. The rate of turtles' life expectancy to adulthood is very low. Experts say that only about 1 to 2% of the number of eggs produced in Indonesia. Turtles in Indonesia spread almost all over the islands and around 143 locations have been identified. The presence of turtles lately increasingly pressed by the proliferation of illegal turtle trade, massive egg collections, and other issues related to human activity. In utilizing sea turtle resource, there are many irregularities committed against the principle of environmental conservation and its sustainability. Until now, the resource utilization of turtles has not followed the right ways, so there is an imbalance between the level of exploitation to the level of population growth. Over-exploitation, regardless of its preservation, will lead the status of turtles population in the wild that is already scarce to increasingly endangered. Many regulations and instructions from the relevant ministries have been issued to protect the endangered animals and also aims to socialize the relevant regulations, increase public awareness of the importance of turtle conservation, coordination to prevent and control poaching, as well as to enforce the law for protection of turtles, their eggs, parts of the body, nest, and monitoring the implementation of the turtle protection program. Hopefully, this regulation is not just made, but also implemented by the various parties in Indonesia, including the people. Well, that was Miscellany Today, which informed you about turtle conservation in Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, this is Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces Indonesian original music in the traditional or modern ones. In addition, through shortwave, you can also listen to this program through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id or through mobile application RRI Play and RRI World Service on your smartphone. In today's edition, I'll introduce Rocket Band from East Kalimantan. Indonesian music industry, which is dominated by men, especially for group bands, has inspired Rocket Band to express gender equality. Rocket Band tries to compete with other bands which are dominated by men. It was established by Clara Sita Emita, vocalist, Alif Priska, bassist, Della Fitdatia, Razak, keyboardist, as well as Muhammad Syafi Zainuri, guitarist, and Muhammad Alif Kautsar, the drummer. So, the members of the bands are part girls and part are men. Okay, let's listen to a song by the band, Cinta Buta or Blind Love.
Harus mencintaimu, aku sadar betapa perihnya harus menyayangimu. Selamanya.
Rocket Band was established on March the 10th, 2009 at a school of music, Harmony Music, actually in Bontang, East Kalimantan. The band is led by Susi Sudianto. Then Susi chose her students who are able to play music. Rocket Band was established and it was named First Harmony Kids. Rocket Band has an album entitled First Harmony with Warner Music Indonesia label. Unfortunately, this album has not been promoted. Well, let's listen to a song from Rocket Band entitled Hujan Pun Turun, or The Rain Comes. Rocket Band released a single entitled Ragu, or Doubt in English, with a new version. The single was taken from their album, and one personnel, Clara, said that the song talked about someone's doubtness about his or her future. The band has a hope to reach success and to become famous. Well, to conclude Music Corner today, let's listen to the last song from Rocket Band entitled Ragu or Doubt. Thank you for listening, and until next time.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Coba pikirkan sekali lagi
of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Aku tak ingin dicintai bila tak sepenuh hati. Aku tak ingin dimiliki bila tak sepenuh hati. Aku tak mau kau sayangi bila kau setengah hati. Aku tak mau kau ingini
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.